Recording.
Just look. Okay, I will call the meeting to order at 9 a.m. on the dot. Perfect. I sent out the proposed agenda last night. I'll make a motion that we approve the agenda for today, February 11th, 2021. Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
Okay.
I just have
all in
one
favor,
comment.
Say aye.
I have a comment on it before
yeah.
we go. You had it on there in non-public for employee reviews, but you don't have a non-public
yeah.
on there for employee hiring. Is that an oversight? We still have to meet to hire, even though that one person canceled.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah,
okay.
I used the words in the previous meeting, and it's
okay.
actually the hiring, not the review. Yep.
Okay.
My
Got
bad.
It. Okay, thanks. All right.
Okay. All in favor of the agenda as corrected, say aye.
Aye.
Yes.
Aye. Okay.
Just hi, Dinah.
But Dinah's on. Hi, Dinah. Just to let everybody know, Kelly and Jeff are taking a pavement class today.
Oh, good.
So Kelly will not be here at, he won't be able to kick off at 9. So I'm going to run right to... the Reinhardt tank project, we have really no update. We're in the winter hiatus.
I reached out last week with the email, I'm sure you saw, and I have gotten no response back from Brad regarding that 1375 bill.
Yeah, the
$1,300
bill.
I'm just catching up on the minutes. I'm sorry, what was that issue we're talking about? I'm sorry, I missed some.
So there's one invoice from Jones Beach, which is against contract number 6, which would put us in excess of the agreed upon contract amount. And I'm sort of just being a pain in the neck here. Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess I'm being a pain in the neck, but yeah. But when we have a contract for a certain price and the vendor goes well above that price. I would have liked to have known about it. We had a very good discussion when we agreed upon the contract that it would not exceed that contract price, and obviously it has, but we don't have a good explanation. So I don't want to pay that bill until I have an explanation. I believe the explanation is that those charges actually came from other contracts and they're going to be redistributed.
That was at the meeting on, I believe, back in November.
Yeah.
When it was first discussed, I have a number of emails into them, and there's never been a response.
Okay.
Yeah, and Jay?
All right.
Jay?
You're
yep.
waiting to hear back from him on that. Is that right?
Yeah.
To confirm?
The $1,375 check, I believe we already paid that one, which put us over.
We didn't?
And then...
No.
Is that correct?
No,
it's
still sitting here.
Okay,
no,
that's a check that we're holding.
Here.
Okay, so that's a check that we're holding, but we also did pay us an invoice of about that same amount that's what put us over. So even that amount should be redistributed to a different contract. So there's two amounts,
yeah.
The one that we did pay and the one, and then this subsequent check that we cut the check, but we have not mailed it.
Right, yeah, I know we are already over on contract 6. And,
right.
you know, that's also part of that explanation. Some of those charges should have been to other contracts.
That's in that email that I sent out.
Yeah.
Yes, that was very good, Donna. That explained it, I think, very clearly. And basically, it was just construction oversight and management. So they, I'm sure that the girl just, without Chris there, she just put it against contract 6, not realizing it should have either gone to contract 1 or contract 3. But they have to do
right.
it on their end. We can't do that on our end.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay, anyway, not
okay.
to make a long conversation out of that, but just to clarify it, that's what that we're waiting for them to do.
Yeah. And we have, on the water side, obviously no water report this morning. We had that last week. But we do have test results from Granite State, analytical, and everything passed. We have no Kelly with us this morning. He and Jeff are taking a asphalt paving class, but Kelly did report to me this week that the quote received from White Law on the one. He said it's one unit for the DPW garage. And so that's the answer to that question. Was it one or two units?
Oh, really?
It's going to be one.
Okay.
Yeah.
You think that one unit can
now
do the whole...
Yeah. Now, here's... I have to do a little investigation. I just wanted to give you some very quick background. So Donna and I came in this morning, and Donna first, and noticed that it was a little chilly in the office and was asking about whether she could turn on the...
No, I just didn't know if I should leave something on with it going to, you know, be so cold. I never thought of it.
Yeah.
The boiler's here that I haven't touched since I've started here, and I use the Mitsubishi Electric as the heat or AC.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So just as everybody knows, the Mitsubishi is what is called a heat pump. The unit's
mm-hmm.
on the outside of the building hanging mm-hmm. off the wall. So it's both an air conditioner and a supply of heat down to a certain temperature. Most Mitsubishi or heat pumps work down to about 5 degrees Fahrenheit. Anything lower than that, you know this down in Florida, Kathy, anything lower than that, forget it. You're not going to get any heat out of it.
I have two of them at home, and even down below 20, they still work, but they don't become a super efficient source of heat when it gets that cold, but they still work. Now, down below 5, that might be a different situation.
Yeah. So the other unit that's in the closet here
mm-hmm.
is what is called a heat transfer unit, and it comes from hot water that is generated from the boiler in the DPW garage.
Okay.
Seeing the story now?
Yep.
Seeing the problem?
What's it called?
So if they – it's the heat furnace.
What do you call it, Jay? I'm sorry.
A heat transfer unit. So it takes the hot water that's boiled in the garage boiler.
Okay.
And it basically runs it across a bunch of coils and creates heat for the office. So if we remove...
So the problem is if we remove our furnace and replace it with those propane modine-type heaters, how are we going to have supplemental heat to the office?
Exactly. So I'm gonna get...
Did we neglect to explain that to him when he came prior to do the estimate? Is that what happened?
No, he was in the garage. We talked to Kelly this morning. He was in the garage, and Kelly explained to him that the heat up in the office was, and I'm reading it right to you, Mitsubishi Electric. Well, that's the name of the company, but it's not an electric heater is what's on the wall. It's something else. But now... So I will look into it. I'll verify what if we remove that boiler, we basically remove the ability to heat from a boiler. Doesn't mean we can't add electric heat to this office. It wouldn't take mm-hmm. much to heat it in addition to the Mitsubishi. It runs a little pricey, but it's very cheap to install.
Yeah, just get like a piece of baseboard heat. Just put electric baseboard heat in there somewhere under the window or...
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
Okay.
Just one strip. Right. Probably a 12-footer.
Okay. Yeah, that would actually make more sense. It would get rid of all that equipment, whatever it is in that closet.
Yes, exactly. And it creates more space. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I'm glad you caught that, though.
Yeah. One other thing I wanted to inform you. We do have at 9:30, Bob Ingram's going to call in to discuss the annual meeting. I do have some information for everybody. It's not much, but it may help us to decide upon where we actually have the meeting this year. And so I'm going to jump right down to his administrative reports with Donna.
I have a question. I did receive the payment from 8 Edelweiss today. I don't know, do I enter it as other income or into the account that we put the... Ian's charged.
Yeah, this is for the pavement of Edelweiss Drive after the water hookup at number 8 Edelweiss Drive. So I believe
this goes
in refund. Yeah.
Right. It's however we posted Ian's total bill. So if that amount of money on Ian's bill was put into water repairs or if it was to the water line extension fund. So however we posted the original charge, this payment for that will go. We'll reverse that. Yep.
Okay. Beautiful. All right.
I'm glad he paid. That's a good thing.
Yeah. The other thing that I have is clarification on Class 6 roads. I have a driveway permit for 8 Granville, and I know part of it is, I was told that it's Class 5 and part of it is Class 6, but on my sheet for Class 6 roads, it's just listed Granville Way.
And it's number 8?
Number 8 Granville. Like, it doesn't say anything on the tax card.
Yeah, it would be, so when you're in the tax card, there's also a little button for tax map, and you can click on that, and it'll actually show you the map. And the extension of Granville Way beyond the intersection with Bergdorf, that's still Class 6.
Okay, so, like, I don't know how I would figure that out. Maybe after you could show me.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, thank you. All right.
So we'll look into that now. I believe that's the lot, correct? I'm not sure, but I'll look into it, that had its trees just cleared.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's interesting that we have number 8 and 8, and I believe it's by the same builder. He likes the number 8.
Oh.
Okay. All
right. I'm sorry, same builder is what? Same builder is 8 Idlewise, you mean?
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. What else you got?
I'm working on the letters to go out to the Primex and Health Trust for the auditors. I don't know. I haven't reached out to them. Catherine was going to work with me on Monday specifically for the audit. And we were going to get that taken care of.
Okay.
I'm sorry, that's for our auditors or for the Health Trust auditors?
Yes, for our auditors, yep, okay. We did...
Wait, I'm sorry, what are you going to do for the auditors? I missed that. You're sending them...
Catherine and me are going to work on that worksheet for the office part of the thing. We've done some of it. We're going to do... Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I think, Paula, that the auditors need some information from both Primex and Health Trust. So there's a form that the auditors require from our insurance companies, and that's what they're going to work on Monday.
Okay. Has anyone been in touch? Have you been heard from the auditor, anyone at the audit firm, Donna? Have you reached out to them?
No, I haven't.
I mean, I saw you guys wrote a note yesterday to us saying that you were Catherine was recommending that you two be the contact, which maybe we...
Right.
Do you want to talk about that now while we're on talking about the audit? Or
that's fine. Yeah. No, she just clarification, and I think that's how we handled it. I told her that we discussed that at a meeting a few weeks ago, and it was going to go through... Everything was going to go through the office unless they had specific questions for the board.
Yeah.
Right.
So we all agree with that.
Right. So I was going to say, shouldn't you guys reach out to the auditors now and ask them, you know, tell them where you are with the forms and, you know, can they give us a calendar or something, a schedule on how this is all going to work?
Okay, I'll do that on Monday with Catherine. I'll call them while she's on the phone in case there's any questions that I, you know, that
That's
she needs
idea.
To have answered. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I introduced her.
I filled out the commissioner's form. I could not scan it into the office, so I brought it with me, and Donna will be able to forward that to the auditors today or sometime this week. So that'll be good. The only thing I asked for in the communication, the back and forth, and there's what is usually called a workbook or work notes that the auditors take. In other words, they'll be communicating back and forth with you and Catherine. So they'll call one day and have a question on something, and they'll be writing it down in what is called their notebook of questions or what have you. So if they can keep track of that, or if they're sharing that notebook with us, because at the end of the audit, that notebook of questions that arise and answers that are given should be available to the commissioners. It sort of clarifies how they achieve the numbers that they show in their overall audit. That was asked for by the public in previous years. So just want to make sure that we have access to that.
But it was determined that is, but it, Jay, if I recall, that was, even though that's something that they do, it was determined that that belongs to the auditor and it's their draft. And so that was not something that the public had a right to examine.
Right, right. But
it, doesn't belong to the district, so we cannot share that with the public.
Right, but I believe that when we have questions, for example, I know we did have some questions on the last audit, and they did go back to their notes.
All right, but we're not doing it for we're not retaining all that for the benefit of the public.
Right, right.
Okay.
I'm sorry, what are you asking, Jay? I'm sorry, are you asking if they have a notebook, or are you asking if we have access to it? I'm confused.
I want to make sure that they have a notebook so that if we ask for the details as to how they derived a particular number, they can go back to their notes and show the correspondence or the information that was provided to achieve that number.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's like asking them how they do their work. I mean, I don't think we need to ask them if they have a notebook. They're a profession. I mean, they do audits. This is what they do for a living. Of course, they're going to be able to answer our questions. I mean, I don't know. It just seems a funny question.
Right, but if the number doesn't look right, and they will say, "Well, we were given a figure of $27,305 on this item," and then we find out later that it was wrong, and that's what skewed the audit, then that'd be something worth having, or at least having access to.
Yeah, and they'll have a record of that because they'll have a record of all the information we give them because it's all going to be given in paper form. Okay. It seems odd to ask them if they are going to keep a notebook. I don't know.
I think that's kind of standard practice.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I don't think you have to ask them that. They're professional auditors, so they'll have some way of keeping track of what they're doing, I'm sure. So that's all. Okay.
Okay. The next is the CRF that I had dealings with this week. Our new, Dinah can tell you about it, but we had our first deposit into the new water extension fund that is our water hookup money that goes into the fund now instead of into our bank account. The trustees are responsible for it now.
Okay, good.
She called, Kathy Moore said there's two types of funds. One's a capital reserve fund, which is for big projects that, like if we're to buy a truck and we're raising money to go into the fund to get to the amount that we need, that's considered a CRF fund. And this particular fund is an expendable trust fund because it's going to be used back and forth. You know, once we do a hookup, I send her the bill, and she cuts the check for us. So it's not considered a CRF fund. It's an expendable trust fund, she said.
Okay.
Yeah, Madison has expendable trust funds. Yeah, Madison has expendable trust funds, and a good example given in the DRA website is, for example, if the town has its own ambulance and they go through supplies like gauze, sheets, things like that, so they have to keep resupplying the ambulance, and this is what expendable trust funds are created for, the frequent use of money. So it's going to be very similar to how we've used it before, but the monies are actually held by the trust fund.
Right. Okay. And we do have to sign.
Yeah.
We have transfer forms. They're not for. This is for our in-house record keeping. That we just need that you people are aware of it. So we just need a signature on that, just to keep a paper trail. Is how we're setting things up going forward, Catherine and myself.
So I have the form in front of me, and I'll make a motion that we go ahead and approve the transfer amount of $26,256.87 from the Waterline Extension Capital Reserve Fund to the Waterline Extension Expendable Trust Fund.
Mm-hmm.
Do I have a second on the motion?
I'll second that.
Okay, any discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye.
Yes.
Aye.
Okay. It's going to require my signature and Dinah's, or two?
Two or three. I should just put another line. I just
okay.
Figured there was only two people.
All right, I'm going to put my title.
Yeah. Okay, and the other checks that we requested for the printer and the replenishment from the the checks that we requested last week for the CRF.
Oh, the withdrawals.
Those checks are ready this morning.
$1,500?
No.
Checks coming to us, not from us.
Yes.
Oh, to us. Okay.
Coming
yeah.
To us. Yes.
The disbursement.
Yeah. Yeah. The $5,500 from the the water line. It was for the office printer, the ledge probes, and the, I think those are the two that we requested.
Yep. So they'll be coming into our operating.
The checks are ready for the meeting or whoever to pick up.
Okay.
At the town.
All right.
And the other one we have for the money transfer is for a check that we cut from the operating budget of, from the water project account of $15,000 to go back into the operating budget from the transfer of November 23rd, 2020.
So I'll make a motion that we approve the transfer of $15,000 to the operating budget account from the water project account. Do I have a second to that motion?
Yeah, I'll second that.
Okay, any discussion on the motion?
Yeah. No, just a quick question.
Did we do this last week, I guess? I thought we did this, or did we just talk about doing it?
We approved it in a motion, and now we're actually signing the form.
Yes, this is...
I think if we've approved it in a motion, we don't need to prove it again to sign it. I mean, it's the same thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Okay, quick question, it's been approved. Yeah. I mean, the motion, we've already approved a motion to transfer it. Now just sign it. I mean, I don't think we need to make another motion to do it again.
Donna, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
So the operating account and the Reinhardt tank account, they're both in the same bank?
Yes.
Those two. Okay. So I just didn't know why we went through and wrote a check. Wouldn't it have been easier just to do an online transfer?
Hi, this is Dave. I requested
a
check for an audit trail that's better than a transfer.
I agree.
Oh, okay.
Paper trail is better than an online transaction.
Paper trail. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Just thought it'd be a lot easier than going through writing checks and signing checks and waiting for people to sign them. That if it's within the same bank, it would be easy just to do the transfer and print a copy of the transfer record. But
right.
Yeah. No, I understand it is easier, but I think for transparency, it makes sense to just sign checks and have one check go from one area to the other. You get an actual trail.
All right. Maybe find out from the auditor.
Yeah. All in favor of this transfer? If there's any other discussion.
Aye.
Okay. All in favor of the transfer? Aye. Okay.
Yes.
All right. What else you got?
The other thing I have is I did call the district court on our outstanding court order of one of our water usage bills. And speaking with Erica at the district court, she said that we could fill out a non-compliance, but it would do us no good if we don't have any physical address that we get that they can serve it to. So I don't know what you want to do with the court order, because we have no way of getting in touch with this old builder. We don't have, the property is not in his name anymore. The property was sold, but back when the court order was established, he was supposed to pay $25 till it was paid down, and he now owes the district $8.99.
So my suggestion is, this is a gentleman that actually lives right behind my house. He's a contractor. He's probably still in business, and he probably can be found. So I'll do a little Googling and see if we can't find his current address.
The only, as I Googled, is the same address that we have.
Yep.
So I don't...
Why can't it serve it there, then? Why can't it be served
because
that address?
Because it keeps coming back undeliverable.
But Jay just said he lives right behind him.
He doesn't live behind him. He was a contractor years ago in the district.
Yeah, he had built the house right behind me, had lived in it for a short while before selling it, and then built the second house in Idlewise, and that, too, has been sold by him. But... You know, I'll try to find out where he lives.
Okay.
Can't we go to the deeds office and look at the documents from when he sold the house and see what his address is? Can't the town give us that?
Yeah, exactly.
That's what the court has, Paula, is the address that we have.
And he's not at that address? That's not in Madison, then? That's not around here? Or?
No, it never was. It was in New Bedford, Mass.
Yeah.
And he's not there, we're sure. Is that what you're saying?
It's coming back undeliverable, yep.
Yeah.
There's other ways. There's just so much information. There's other ways to find it.
Jay.
So I think, you know, looking at what the town of Madison has on file or had on file is one thing. But I think what you're referring to is just look at the Massachusetts Registry of Deeds and put his name in. If he bought or sold anything in Massachusetts, it'll come up with his... most recent address.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
All right.
See if you can find him.
Well, I used to work for the NSA as a contractor. We have ways.
Okay.
Well, I need your ways. All right. And that's all that's on my plate.
Okay. We're coming up on 9:30. Is Bob on yet?
Nope.
Okay. So we did the fund transfers, is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Perfect. Get that one off. And I'm going to jump real quick to accounts payable, if that's okay with everybody. We have a manifest for $7,257.53. So I'll make that motion that we approve the 8 checks for that amount.
That might be
sounds like Bob.
I'll second
Hang on, Bob. We're just approving it. Manifest. Any discussion? Any discussion on any of these expenditures?
Nope. It looked like the big one was the minerals.
Yeah, grant the salt, and of course the electricity. That's a constant.
Yep.
Okay.
Where's the other one?
That one.
Yeah, on this.
There it is. Yeah. Okay, so I'll make that. The motion's been made. I'm sorry, the motion's been made. $7,257.53. Do I have a second?
I already seconded it.
Second already. Okay, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. All right, motion passes. One other quick one, and then we'll do payroll real quick. We have one check.
That's the transfer.
The $15,000. We have to sign this check. We just agreed to go ahead and establish the transfer in the fund. So I'm just going to go ahead and sign this check. Is that okay? I don't think we need a motion.
We've already made the motion.
Right. You have to approve the manifest.
Yep. So it is a separate manifest because it is for just the water project. So I'll make the motion that we approve this this expenditure of $15,000 transfer to the operating budget from the water project.
I'll second it.
Okay, all in favor say aye. Aye.
Yes.
Okay. All right, hang on just a minute, Bob. Okay.
Sign those checks out.
Yeah. So, Bob, you're up. Sorry for the slight delay.
No problem.
Good morning.
How are you?
Let me give you what has transpired. I don't have much information. I've gotten in touch with the Conway Kennett Middle School twice. Still waiting for the principal to call me back. The receptionist said that the principal will be making the decision. I also then, feeling there's just a little too much delay, called Madison again. And this is in light of the slides that were shown at the moderator webinar on Saturday.
Okay. Yep.
And I don't know, Bob, if you had taken a look at the layout of the school gymnasium that was shown as an example in the town of Bedford, New Hampshire.
Right.
I looked at it, and I don't know if you saw this, but a lot of the chairs in their arrangement with 6-foot social distancing were paired together. There were pairs of chairs, which makes sense when a husband and wife or two spouses come in together. They can actually sit beside each other as a pod, and therefore you increase your number of attendees in that same footprint. So I look at that and I said, wow, we could probably do upwards of 70, 75 people in the Madison gym if we wanted to go back and just use the traditional Madison school gym. With that setup of having pairs of chairs together with another area for single individuals. What are your thoughts?
No, I agree with that. I guess the question is, I thought there was some mandate as to the number of people that could be in the facility. I thought that was the issue. 46 was a maximum you could, or is that based on individuals being 6 feet apart?
Yeah, that's the individual footprint.
What?
That's what I saw. That's what's shown on the school gymnasium door, is that the maximum social distance is 46 people.
So who made that rule is the question? And do we
so that was measured by the members of the school. And I guess your question is, do we have to adhere to that? If you read the current New Hampshire CDC, the current guidelines from the New Hampshire Department of Safety and Health, it says that if you cannot maintain 6-foot social distancing, you have to wear a mask.
Right.
Which I thought was odd. I thought everybody had to wear a mask.
So that was made clear last Saturday that not only is they allowed, but you have to allow space for the unmasked person who refuses to wear a mask, right? That was pretty clear, spelled out Saturday. The suggestion there was to have a separate area for people without masks.
Right.
Right? And we
could do that as well.
Where would we do that?
That'd be over by, there's a set of double bay doors towards the back corner of the gym.
Yeah.
And I would say that would be the spot, and then leave one of those double bay doors open for the ventilation of air to come in and out.
The tables are in that closet.
No, this is double bay doors to the outside of the building.
That's where we exited when we voted. Those back doors there.
That's correct. Yeah, in November, that is correct.
Yeah. you know, I don't know. You know the village folks better than I. I don't know how many would be insistent on not wearing a mask, you know. And
right.
how does that plan of having them all in the same room like that impact people who are concerned about being there at all, right?
Right.
Yeah. And Jay, can I ask a quick question? Jay?
Yeah.
Jay, when you're looking at the seating, would you assume, you know, maybe half the attendees were as couples where the other half may not be, so that you have a balance between couples? And because like Gloria, Dinah, there's a lot of people that will be showing up as individuals and not as a couple.
That's right. Yep.
Okay.
The only thing I would say you guys to think about, and I don't know if this is in the law, but I remember at the voting last year in November, the way they set up the election, if you didn't want to wear a mask or, you know, just that they had a separate area for you to vote in. They had a separate, so they were looking for volunteers to man, to sort of work that station. They had all these, it may have been in Conway, but they had a lot of people who were willing to work in the mask section. But they had a separate voting area even for non-mask people. So, like, if somebody comes in and says, I'm not going to wear a mask, and they're going to go in the same voting booth right before somebody that is wearing a mask, so I don't know if you have to have two separate voting areas even.
Right.
And different people working the table that checks them in.
Yeah.
I don't know what the law is. If we have to or not. I'm just saying they did have that in November.
Right.
That adds more complications.
The vote is I think we have two situations that we need to discuss. One is the meeting and one is the voting. Because the voting, I was trying to remember exactly how things were set up in November for the checklist people. Were they behind plexiglass, Jay? Do you remember exactly how that played out?
Yes, they were. And we'd be able to borrow that plexiglass, I was told yesterday by the clerk.
You did. Okay. That was my next question. I wonder who we need to talk to about that. Because the more I thought about that last week when you said we wouldn't be able to use it, the more irate I got in my mind. Because all of us paid for that. In our taxes.
Exactly. And, I thought the same thing, Bob.
You know, I'm irate enough about Madison having to, you know, pay for our deeded beach rights. So it's just one more thing that was making me irate. Anyway, so assuming that we would have the plexiglass, I sort of think that the setup of the voting should be different. As people come in the door, they have to wait outside until the next person in front of them gets checked through, and then they can go to vote. When we voted in November, there was many different options for actually filling out your ballot. We had individual tables where we actually sat, and you could just do it there without being in a booth at all, or you could be behind a screen kind of thing and do that. I'm not sure, you know, what our requirements are in terms of that booth. If we had three tables at the back of the room, like underneath the screen, three different spots that people could go to, you could handle three people at a time to vote. And in most of those 2 hours, that would be fine. There are times when it gets a little bit backed up, but for the most part, that would be fine to do and not even use the booths. Because I agree, with booths, I think to me you'd have to go and clean them in between each one.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't think they did that in November. I think they gave everybody their own pen, which you just took home with you. They didn't clean the booths out afterwards. They were not doing that.
No, I didn't sit at a booth. I sat at a table.
Yeah, I'm just saying, I know I used the booth. They didn't. Yeah, they were not cleaning the booths, though, between people. I was there. I mean, you could tell they weren't. Yeah, I don't think they have to clean them. I think because you're not. The idea is you give people the their own pen. They take it with them, and then they gave them like a folder to hold the thing in, and then so you didn't touch anything that anyone else had touched. They kind of had a way to do that. So I don't think you have to clean the booths necessarily, but it would be good. You'd have an area.
Our booths are not more than a foot apart at that. They're not even, you know, they're just separated by a curtain, and there's the next one. You know, they're hooked together like that, so. I was just thinking, instead of even using the booth, to have tables set up in each, like, the two corners and one in the middle, even if we then took those down after the voting and set the room up differently for the meeting, that it would give people privacy without being anywhere near each other.
Mm-hmm.
So right. I think we only have three booths anyway, right?
You could do cardboard could be set up on each one of those tables, and those tables could be 12 feet apart. It's all achievable, Bob. But I think the question is, it's going to take quite a bit of volunteers to help set this up. And if we do have anybody that's going to be what I call a cleaner, that they wipe down any surface that was touched, we also can go out, and this is very easy. We have to buy a box of masks, right? These little people that forgot to bring theirs. We have to buy a box of gloves. I mean, it's all minimal money, but we do have the opportunity, according to the town clerk in Madison, to borrow their pandemic shields, their plexiglass, for the setup and protection of the checklist and anyone else that desires it.
Right, right. And so we need a volunteer outside to kind of guide people and, you know, make people wait until they come in, that kind of thing. I think that the idea of the unmasked person, you know, I sort of think that if they come in unmasked, then maybe they ought to go just to that out of the door. Or, you know, I think in our mailings or instructions or website, what we need to put on that if you're uncomfortable, if you do not have a mask to vote, please vote absentee ballot. I mean, I don't know why we couldn't do that. I know we can't totally prevent it from them from doing that. But so the other option is either provide some way for them to vote or have everybody vote drive-through, like originally thought about, you know. I'm thinking the people that are most concerned are probably want to do an absentee ballot anyway, although I'm not exactly sure logistically with the office being open how you do that. But
I wonder if a lot of the absentee we get are snowbirds who will be back by May. I mean, maybe not. So we might not have as many absentee. But, it's an interesting idea to just do the voting drive-through. It's just easier. I mean, it saves a lot of headaches with all this setting up and contaminating and not contaminating.
I think it's a very good idea, actually. We don't have to worry about pens and booths and tables and
it'll be warm enough.
So if we're opted to do a traditional meeting and not hold it virtually, do we have the right to change the voting to be drive through? Can we kind of do that mixed protocol?
So the voting, I think, I mean, we can validate that, make sure, but I believe because our voting is only going to be for offices.
Correct.
There's no special ballot.
Bond issue, right. And there's no bonds or anything, so.
Right. It's pretty much on a traditional ballot is your offices or zoning, right? So I don't think that, my thinking is we could do that even a week ahead of time. The concern with that is you still are going to need checklist people to check people as they come into the meeting and hand out the piece of paper that they're going to use to vote, right? But it would alleviate the issues of setting the room up special, you know?
Right.
And it might encourage more people to do the absentee ballot process or just come through, it's a quick ballot. I mean, there aren't a lot of offices, so it's not, it won't back up, I don't think, like the special ballot would with all the articles,
Right. I think that's a great idea to do the as people, I don't know if we need to do it on two separate days. I think that with, what do we get normally, 100 at the very most votes, and we may have several cars that have two votes or even three votes per vehicle. And if we did, as they arrive that day, maybe have two lines of traffic coming in and have checklists to verify identity, give them a ballot as they drive up the hill, collect their ballot, they park, and then they go in.
Right, right. No, I think that would be fine. I think that it may make sense to push the meeting out an hour. In other words, if we had the voting from 8 to 10 like we normally do, our meeting starts right at 10. I'd suggest starting it maybe at 11 instead, which would allow traffic to be done with voting, and now people come to the meeting. In my mind, I was thinking, does that present a problem? Because you would be handing out, as they check in, you'd be handing out their slip of paper to use for voting at the meeting, and then they would leave and come back. And I thought, gee, they could hand that to anybody and they could come vote. But we allow that now. People get their slip at 8 o'clock in the morning, and then they may not come back until 10. So I don't think that's really a big issue. That would be my preference, to handle it that way. And that would, it would alleviate a lot of the work in terms of setting the room up and all that. The only issue that we would have is if somebody doesn't come to vote and they show up at 11 and they haven't got a piece of paper, they're still going to check in. So we would still need one small area, maybe with one plexiglass, to check just for that purpose. If anybody does come in that doesn't already have a slip, if they miss the voting by coming to the meeting.
Yeah. And would we hand out all the other paperwork to them at that same time, hand them the copy of the budgets and the warrants just so they have that for reference?
Couldn't you have that on the table as they came into the room and let them pick it up?
I think
nobody has to man that or be near them or hand anything to them,
Okay. All right.
And then we get the whole entire room. Basically, you get the whole entire room to set up, to be able to handle the people. If some meetings we get a lot more people than other meetings, but typically we have less than 60, right? And this year probably going to be the lower amount of because of the virus. People may not feel comfortable, I don't know. But I would think my concern was twofold, really. In the big auditorium, which I've never been in, Kennett Middle School, so I don't know what that auditorium is like. In that big environment, I clearly thought we would need at least a couple of microphones that people could hear, including the moderator, podium, as well as where people would speak, spread out like that. As a commissioner speaks, the whole place has to hear them. So I thought, from a sound standpoint, there could be issues. Having to clean that mic before anybody gets up and speaks, but the next person to speak, that became an issue. On the other hand, it's a much bigger room, and so I thought it might be easier to segregate the non-mask people, but at any rate, I think if we can do it at the Madison School, we're better off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think when you look at the crowd out there, I'm not sure it's 50%, but close, maybe more than 50% are couples.
Mm-hmm.
I think we could probably set up two chairs together and handle quite a few that way. I'm not sure how you exactly measure out the 6 feet, but, with masks on, the 6 feet probably aren't quite as critical. Certainly you need to have 6 foot apart for the unmasked people, And I think that we could just assure that those people come in one door and go out the same door. Which would be that.
Yeah. And just line the chairs up, just line the chairs up with the backs against the wall at 6 feet apart. I mean, I can't imagine it'd be more than 10 or 12 at the most, and just kind of line them right up against the wall, backs against the wall, so they're not mingling with the rest of the voters.
And my intent is after an hour, I would break and say we're going to take a 10-minute break. Everybody would like to go outside and take their masks off for a bit. To relax.
Mm-hmm.
Great idea.
To breathe.
Yeah.
Because for some people, it's going to be unusual to be sitting there for 2 hours with a mask on. Some of us who are out and about and still working a few hours, we're kind of used to wearing a mask, but a lot of these people probably aren't. They're sitting at home. They don't have masks on. They're in the car. They don't have masks on. They go into a store, but that's only for a period of time, and then they have their mask off again. So to sit for 2 hours or more with a mask on may be uncomfortable for a lot of the people. And so I was thinking sort of like the way they do in schools, where they take them outside, take the masks off for a 10-minute break, you know, that kind of thing. If people choose not to, that's fine. In May, it's a little easier to suggest that, unless it's a rainy day, than it is in March, right? I mean, hopefully.
Well, I think you're going to have a lot of people are going to have been vaccinated by then. I mean, you know, especially those seniors, I would hope. I think the problem with that is they're going to be much more relaxed about the whole thing. And I think that's where you're going to have problems. I mean, I don't need to wear my mask. I've had a vaccine. I think, you know, it's 3 months from now. I don't think we have any. I mean, it's hard to say I think it's going to be, hopefully, things seem to be like they're going to be speeding up at some point, you know. So I think a fair amount of people will have been vaccinated, but that doesn't change what we have to do. I'm just saying, like, I just think it's hard to say what people's attitudes are going to be at that point, you know.
I don't think the mask wearing will change.
No, I agree. We'll have to wear masks. I think you're absolutely right. I'm just saying, you're going to have a lot of people saying, I don't want to wear a mask because I've had a vaccine. This non-mask area may become a bigger issue than we think.
Good point.
That's all. And I don't think that's right from what everything you understand. I know, but I still think that's what's going to happen potentially. So.
Right.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea to take a break. I think that's really, and it just gives people a chance to kind of stretch their legs. Those meetings can become really tedious, so use the restroom if they need to. I think it's a good idea.
Yep. And you know, Paul, and if we find more people are unmasked and we, you know, just move the seats out of the masked area, I don't think the total number of people is going to change. If we just start, you know, moving away from the protected area to the unprotected area. And we have 100 people vote, but then the people that save the deliberative session is usually less.
Right.
Yeah.
Cheers.
Right.
Put it together.
Okay.
The bubble thing, but you can put.
No, I thought it was the number of people in place with the percentage of the space.
No, it has to do with the space, the measurements.
I don't think we have to figure this all out now. I mean, I think what we know today is that you're still waiting to hear. I mean, we don't even know what the capacity is of Conway, right, the Kenneth School. So I think you should go back. Somebody, whoever's doing this today, if it's you, go back to Madison and say to the school and say, listen, if we're going to have people sitting in pairs that are, you know, people from the same pods are coming together, they're going to sit with their pod. Can we put more than 44 people in that gym? Is that okay? Or ask the fire chief, you know him, if that's going to be okay.
Yep.
Whoever sets those rules. So I just think we need to confirm that we can do that. And then just kind of keep moving forward at this point. We've sort of set the date, right? I mean, make sure Madison's available on that date. If I just keep taking the next step as we move forward, and then, you know, I'd say we should announce the dates once we know that, and then we should just keep going. I mean, and then we can meet with Bob again in a few weeks and when we know more and we can kind of firm up. But I just think we're kind of talking speculatively about a lot of this and we don't really know.
So, Bob, I guess this is Kathy. I have a question. So if both the Madison Gym and the Kennett Junior High Gym are available on that same May 22nd, do you have a preference as to where you'd like to hold the meeting?
Yes, Madison.
Okay. All right. That's what I was kind of hearing that, but I just wanted to confirm it.
As long as we can do it safely, there's no question in my mind that that's a better option.
Okay. Just because of the listening and the projection and the conversation and all of that. Okay.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I just think it'll be, from a sound standpoint, it's certainly better. I mean, we don't use microphones except for the catching on the video. You know what I mean? We don't really need a microphone so that people in the room can hear. The microphones are set for the video. They're not. There's no sound. They're not hooked to a sound system in the room. And we've done that for years. So I think that. But in the middle school, I'm assuming it's much bigger, and we would probably need more sound. you know, capacity. Okay. Anyway, I will validate that it's okay to have the voting, you know, drive-through voting and then a regular meeting. I'm pretty confident that they'll say that that's okay, but I will verify that. Okay?
And you're going to verify that.
Who are you going to verify that with, Bob?
Through the New Hampshire, the group that we were last week, those legal people, you know. I think that we could do
NHMA.
That. The other ones, right. They would allow, you know, give their opinions. So, and I don't see how that could be much of a problem. Everybody is going to be able to vote. We're not preventing anyone that way from voting, whether they have a mask on or not. You know,
will they talk to Bob because he's the moderator? Because I remember calling them once with a question and they wouldn't talk to me because I was not a commissioner.
I have email addresses. I can even send just a note off. You know.
Okay. Great.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they're pretty good. The meeting that all morning was a little bit, because we had already kind of set in our mind that we were going the normal route. Then the meeting wasn't as pertinent to us, right, Jay? The morning session. But it was a little frightening in that, you know, when they started talking about the issues, you know, unmasked people. There was one scenario that they talked about where there was an unmasked person sitting in the room and got a phone call telling him that he was tested positive for COVID.
Yeah.
What does the moderator do?
Yeah.
You know, he's like, come on.
Hey, I sat in Mass and that was done. They got notified just before Mass started that someone in the previous Mass had just come down with COVID, and they wanted to point out where that person sat.
Talk about
Chinese fire drill.
Anyway, we are making progress, certainly. I'm getting my vaccine a week from Saturday, so my first.
Oh, good for you, Bob.
So, yeah.
So I guess Donna.
I got to drive to Lebanon to get it, but it's worth it.
Yeah.
That's a long way.
Yeah. Well,
yeah. So
I think it'll be easier. You know, I mean, there were just so many people trying to register all at once that everything was booked up through April. You know, it was crazy that first week. So,
yeah.
You want to be in Florida, Bob. It's crazy.
Oh, I know. Yeah, I imagine.
But so anyway,
Florida
is
only now in Florida.
Yeah.
What?
Should Donna reach out to Linda to see if the 22nd's available?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
The 22nd. Okay. That would be Linda. Yeah. That would be the school.
Yeah. And how about...
Okay,
how about the sexless people? Have we contacted them? Make sure that...
Not yet.
I told them that the meeting was postponed and I'd keep them updated.
Okay. All right.
So you want to ask them about that date? I'd ask them to pencil that date in for now or pen it in 22nd for the checklist.
Okay. And also Madison TV.
We have to be careful because the Saturday prior, the 15th, is Madison's deliberative session. Now, if you know that in a particular deliberative session, if a vote, educate me, Bob, but remember how we had a deliberative session, we actually had to carry the meeting into the following week?
Right.
Because a certain motion was made, and it causes the meeting to be postponed for 7 days?
Yeah. That was a reconsideration. Yeah. That was on a reconsideration.
Reconsideration, yeah.
Yeah, and so you're right. So they could possibly end up, you know, that way. So
is the Madison meeting usually in the evening or during the day, though, Jay?
During the day.
Well, why don't you ask her if it's available? If they have it already on hold, then the other option would be to have it later in the day. But I think, you know, we could do our if their tentative second session is at 10 o'clock, we can just have our meeting at noon or something. That's right.
Right.
Mm-hmm. If that happened, it would not be a full meeting. It would just be on that one article.
Article. Right. Right.
And maybe they don't schedule it. So maybe they postpone and they do theirs in the afternoon if they have to have a second one after ours is over. I mean, I would ask her. You know, I would call and say, is the 22nd available? And just not our, you right. know, we really shouldn't have to worry about their situation. That's their situation. You know, that's, they're managing that situation,
yeah.
not us. So just call and ask if they're available at 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the school, not Linda.
Yeah.
Right, Madison School.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry. Madison School.
And I like the idea of closing the poll a little early because everyone does tend to come right before the meeting because it's easier. So if we did drive-through voting, is maybe we do 7:30 to 9:30, or we do start the meeting at 10:30. I wouldn't delay it too much so people can just stay if they want. But I also don't want people to say, well, I was in line at 10 o'clock, but we have to wait for all those people to vote because they were
mm-hmm.
in line.
Right.
In their car, you know, sitting in their cars out in the parking lot. So I think if we can,
right.
I think 30 minutes is probably enough. Either way, I would just do that.
But if we're having an outside voting, then we will be able to have the room set up even the night before, which would allow for a shorter time. I mentioned that, I was thinking we were going to have voting inside, in which then
right.
it would give us an hour to prep the room for the meeting.
Right.
But,
right.
If we're having it outside, there's less, obviously a lot of less prep work inside.
But what's
going to
happen is everybody's going to drive up 10 minutes before the meeting to vote in their car.
We have
and you're going
to
have people sitting
in
you have
to warn them not
to
do
it. Yeah. But if you're in line, they have to let you vote. And then the problem becomes if people are in line, they have to vote. You have to let them vote. So then you've got 10 people. People are straggling into the meeting late.
Then I think if we do an hour, then people aren't going to want to sit there for an hour waiting for a meeting. So if they vote,
right.
if they want to vote, they got to come and vote, get in line by 10 o'clock. And hopefully it won't take very long. Go through that line, and then they'd have to go home or sit in their cars because the people aren't going to come in the building until we're ready. So,
say start the meeting at 10:30. We're good to go.
Yeah, and I think even like our regular commissioner meetings, if we post a time to start, we can always start 20 minutes late as long as we don't start early.
That's true.
So if we have to wait 15 minutes to let the rest of the folks get in, then we wait 15 minutes. That's all.
Right. Right.
So I don't have a problem with that.
Okay.
All right. So once we find out, by next week, Jay. So by Thursday next week, we'll know for sure that we are going to do May 22nd, and hopefully we'll know what the venue is going to be, and we'll know that we are allowed to do the drive-through voting, and then we'll also have the times established, 8:30 to 10:30, and then the meeting will start at 11 or however we want to do it, 11 to 3. So, so what we should have all, because like you said, then we have to start backing up from that to make sure we post everything and get the budget hearing and all that scheduled so that we don't miss any of those deadlines. All right.
One more thing I want to add. I would like to make it an hour between the voting and that because I don't typically, in between while people are voting, the checklist folks and I will open up the absentee ballot. And I don't think we're going to have that ability to do during the voting. So I think that we're going to need some time to do that. So if we do it an hour, it gives us time to complete that. They'll probably even have the count done, potentially. So I think that I would prefer to do it, give that hour, So if you think that we ought to start the voting at 7:30, which is a little early, to start the meeting at 10:30, we could do that. And if people don't show up until 8 to vote, that's fine. I mean, whatever. But I would like an hour after the voting before the meeting starts.
Okay.
Okay.
All right?
Yeah, 7:30 seems a little bit early also. So maybe, 8:30 to 11 or something. Okay.
I don't think the meeting is going to me, it doesn't sound like there's going to be that much controversy. Maybe I'm wrong. But there's no bonding issues. And that always extends the time, the length of the meeting,
Mm-hmm.
If we start at 11, we'll probably, hopefully, be out of there by 1, but you don't know for sure, obviously. But that, I think, would be okay.
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 All right,
Can I just ask a question? Do I have to post in the paper the postponement of our meeting of March 6th? Because yesterday's Conway Sun... There was postings of a postponement for the meetings.
Yes. Yeah. If we've already announced it, have we in the paper?
No.
Oh, we haven't.
No.
No.
Okay, so we don't have to. They probably did.
No, not it wasn't our meeting. It was somebody else's meeting.
There was like Bartlett or somebody else,
right.
Another town posted the in the paper. I read yesterday's Conway Sun.
Yep.
And there was the posting, and I just wanted just to cover ourselves. Do we have to post a ad canceling the meeting?
I don't think we announced it. Yeah, have
not
we announced
if we didn't
it by
announce
paper?
It in the paper. If we didn't announce it in the paper, I don't think we have to cancel
it. We did announce
paper.
It.
We did it
on the website.
On the public hearing.
Yeah.
Question for the
we
budget
did
hearing.
The public.
Yeah, we did on the in the newspaper?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, so we have to postpone that. Yeah.
Okay, so I'll fill that out.
Well, do we want to wait, Jake?
Yep.
If we wait till next week, we can add all the new information.
When is the are we coming right up on the date? When was it supposed to be?
March 6th. Well, the
public
annual
hearing.
Meeting.
The public hearing
was
last week.
That was already last week.
You don't have to cancel. You don't have to post it. You're canceling it. You've already canceled it. I mean, we already haven't had it. That would be silly.
I meant the annual meeting, Paula.
No, but if we didn't announce
it. Well?
We did.
That's the thing. She's saying we did now. We did announce the annual meeting.
We announced it how we were going to have all the different, you know, the three different meetings and everything.
It was part of the budget hearing notice. We put a line in there about how the annual meeting was going to be run using the emergency order 83. So we added that to the bottom of the public hearing notice. So there was two things were being advertised in that one notice.
Well, as long as we do it before March, anything we're canceling, I'm fine with it. I'd wait till we know the due date. I'd draft it, Donna, and put in May 22nd, and then let's approve it next week. And place it.
Right.
Yep.
Okay. Right.
Yep. So why don't you draft it for approval next week?
We could put in the voting
ballot
at that point. So it won't hurt to have it in the paper for sure.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
Yeah, now,
all right.
Here's a question. Yeah, when we discussed the final dates for the public hearing on the budgets and articles, and then the subsequent day of voting and deliberation, I want to bring this subject matter up, and that is a public hearing to let the voters give input into the commissioner's desire to take $20,000 from the Water System Capital Reserve Fund to match the asset management grant before the April 30th deadline. That would be a separate public hearing that could be held the same night as our budget hearing.
Well, when are we going to do the budget hearing? We don't even know when we're going to do the budget hearing yet.
Yeah, well, if we do get May 22nd as our actual deliberation and voting day, then we back ourselves out from that, and I believe it's 6 weeks prior.
Let me ask a question. We're going to take, we've agreed, I think we made a motion, that we're going to, maybe we didn't, but we're going to take the money for the matching grant out of the reserve fund, right? And then we're going to going to have a warrant article that's going to take, it's going to replenish that. If you knew today that was probably going to fail, would you still not do the matching grant, take the money out of the reserve fund for the asset management? I mean, haven't we as a commission decided that this asset management thing is really important? And if the voters say, no, you can't have 20 grand for that extra, you can't replenish that, wouldn't we still do it?
From the unassigned fund.
We'd do it from the reserve account.
Yeah.
So why do you have to have a special hearing to get approval on that? I would just do it at the annual meeting.
Yeah, so I agree that we should take the $20,000 out of the capital reserve fund to get this grant match and then do this asset management map. That is extremely necessary prior to moving forward with any projects or water system. Now, the option that I'm proposing here of putting a warrant article in to take the $20,000 from unassigned fund balance and put it into the capital reserve fund is simply a matter or a decision by the voters to how they want to balance their finances. If
right.
it's in
mm-hmm.
the capital reserve fund, if the $20,000 goes back into the capital reserve fund from the unassigned fund balance,
right.
what the voters are saying is that, again, we want to keep that fund well stocked in case we have a water disaster.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
If they don't and want to keep it in unassigned fund balance, then we cannot go back to the unassigned fund balance to fund some disaster in the water system unless we go to a special meeting. So
right.
I want to really.
What
give
if
it,
they? What if they? What if they don't? Are you going to then say, okay, then I would forego the asset management project if they don't want to do that?
No.
What's more important?
No,
if you're not going to do that, why do we need to have a special hearing? Like, I'm not sure the point of the special extra hearing.
Yeah, the reason for the special hearing is, okay, let's say we've already decided, we've already done it. We've already done it. We've moved the $20,000. We're going to match the grant. Now, what the hearing is about is, do you want to leave the Capital Reserve Fund for Water System $20,000 less than what it is today? That is really the question up to the voters, because we did save a considerable amount of money this year by not spending down the budget, and so I want to give the voters the option of taking and transferring unspent money this year and replenishing the Capital Reserve Fund for the water system. That's
why
all.
Why do you want to do that in a special hearing? That's what the Warren article will do. Why do you want to have it in a special hearing? I don't understand. We agreed we were doing
the
Warren
article.
Of a warrant.
The Warren article does exactly
right,
what you're just saying. And I know what you're saying, Jay, that you want to make sure that there's public support for it. And
right.
And there is. I mean, everybody's, you know, they understand how important this is. And even if they say, no, we don't think spending $20,000 of our money on a asset management grant is a good idea, the commissioners have the authority to do it, and we all understand how important it is, and we're going to move forward.
Okay.
Correct.
So, okay, I agree. Correct. Yeah, you're right. So that being said, if we have, and I believe we did last week, agree to match the grant with $20,000 from the Capital Reserve mm-hmm. Fund for Water System.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as far as timing goes, how long does it take to actually get that check? Because we have to have all the paperwork approved by April 30th. So that gives us 2 months. But I'm not sure how often the trustees meet and how long that process actually takes.
But, Jay, you can't take the money out of the Capital Reserve Fund without an invoice. So as long as we know that
right.
that money's there, as we move forward with the project, we have to get the project, you know, planned out. We have to get the specifications. We have to select a contractor. And once the project moves forward, I mean, I'm not sure if it's going to be done the same way as the grant, where it's a prorated, you know, when we get a $10,000 bill, $5,000 comes from them and $5,000 comes from us. We just take it out as needed.
Right.
And the trustees meet once a month. And we if they approve our request, then the check comes within a couple days.
Okay. All right. So then I can go ahead and start filling out the paperwork with the authorization that was made last week to go ahead and take that from the Capital Reserve Fund. Okay.
Yep.
I just wanted to make sure.
And as well as the fact that back in 1990, the district voted to give the commissioners the authority to apply for, receive, and expend that kind of money from the state.
Right. I realize. Yep. Okay.
Okay. Okay.
All right. Okay, I'm good.
Okay.
Anything? Let me just look at my notes here. Anything else on the annual meeting?
So we all sit with Bob. We all sit. Okay. Sorry, I didn't mean to jump ahead.
I think so. Bob, you all set with us?
So just going to wait till next week and then set dates for the budget hearing and so forth? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Sounds good. I will let you know.
Okay. All right. Hey, thank you, Bob.
The response that I get. I'll let you know the response I get regarding the voting.
Okay, that'd be awesome.
You know, I can just talk to you next week. You know, either way, it's fine. Okay?
All right.
Okay. All right.
Yep.
So.
Yeah. Take care.
All right. So, Jay, when it comes to posting for the public hearing, we were always using 6 Tuesdays back from the annual meeting And apparently that guideline calendar we got from NHMA said it had to be done by, what was it, Donna, January, January 21st or January 31st? It was an actual hard date versus a...
January 29th was for the candidacy.
Yeah.
The other was the Tuesday that you counted back.
Right.
Okay.
So,
whatever.
If it is still May 22nd, which I believe it is, let's assume it is.
Yeah.
Then
okay.
We have to count back six. Is it six Tuesdays? Did you say, Donna?
I believe.
Yeah, six Tuesdays.
So one,
and,
two, three.
But as far as the candidates for office, how does that change? Because we've already accepted how many? We had two applicants.
Mm-hmm.
We've had two applicants, but I believe that because we're postponing the meeting, that the nomination period or candidacy period is still open.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking.
I would assume it is.
I'm just pulling up the document about the dates. I'm pulling up. I have that document right on my desktop with all the rules. Hold on, just a sec. I'll tell you what it is.
Yeah, because I think that was the one date that they really didn't describe very well was the deadline for candidates.
Well, no. So Friday, January 29th, last day for filing declarations of candidacy with town clerk in towns with nonpartisan official ballot systems. Town clerk,
right.
It's RSA 669:19-65220. It's the Friday next following the first day for candidates to file declarations of candidacy on January 20th. Friday next. So let me go back to what January 20th is. The rule is first day for candidates in towns with nonpartisan. It's the seventh Wednesday before the town meeting. So it's the Friday after
Wednesday.
The seventh Wednesday. So you go to the seventh Wednesday, and that's the first day, and then the Friday after it is the last day. The Friday.
Oh, okay. So there was a number of weeks. Okay. Not just a hard date.
Yeah,
okay.
January, the hard date is when you go through that thing that they send you, NMHA publishes, they are publishing that assuming that your meeting is the second Tuesday. They
okay.
figure the
so
whole thing out
example.
Because that's the traditional town meeting date. And they give you all the dates, but you have to follow the rules, not the dates they give you, because we don't use that date. So it's go to seven Wednesdays, and then go 10 days past it to a Friday, and that's how you do it.
Okay. Okay. And I would think because of the situation that we wouldn't make the two candidates refile after that date. Maybe call them or say, are you still, is your submission for candidacy still valid?
Exactly.
Unless they've changed their mind. That's all.
Yeah.
It's just a form, right?
Okay.
If they confirm it, that it's, I think, why not?
Okay. All right, so we'll have all these dates and everything hopefully lined up so that we can post again in the newspaper and elsewhere next week. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
And get the website updated and do a MailChimp thing. So,
But, Donna, just so I want to make sure that everybody's clear on this. You don't follow the, like, I think what happens is we call Madison and Madison says, no, this is the date. That's the date for Madison because that they follow that calendar that NMHA publishes. We don't follow that calendar because we always have ours on a different date. You got to follow the law.
Right.
But January 29th is actually not our right date before.
We were told last year by NHMA that the last day for candidacies for any was the 29th because of the...
It was,
Because our meeting was on the same week. Because our meeting is on... Madison's meeting was the same... Madison does theirs. Their meeting starts on Tuesday. Their meeting does not start... is not Saturday. So, and maybe this week it would have... Maybe it was the 7th Wednesday. I'm just saying, make sure you follow the law, not the date. And make sure it's the same date because their meeting date is Tuesday. It's not Saturday. They open their meeting on Tuesday for the voting. That's election day for Madison.
Right.
And then they postpone or they suspend their meeting, and then they close their meeting on Saturday.
whereas we have our voting on Saturday. So their meeting is actually, based on all these calendars, the same day as our, like, it tends to line up things. But because we're now going after them, it's going to change everything. So,
yeah, but I remember calling as well. And last year, and the NHMA did say, even though our date was different, that the 29th was the final day for candidates. It was irregardless
it
of
worked,
when we had our...
It's because it actually
worked
out that way, Jay. That's why.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to follow the law. I don't know. I think you got to follow the law. And the law says the 7th Wednesday.
Explained exactly... But when our annual meeting was, we said, now do we follow the law or do we follow the date? And they said, no, in this case, you follow the date, but with everything else, you follow the law.
That's right.
How many days back from your annual.
I'm sorry. I follow the law. I'm going to follow the law.
Yeah.
I think that's...
So, Jay, let me ask you this question. Jay, was it the fact... I thought that some of the discrepancy was... actually, it was a date for candidacy because I'm the one that... kind of selected that date by using the count back method, and it was incorrect. But when we submitted our petition warrant articles to Madison, we were using whatever method to calculate that date, and we were told that was incorrect as well.
Right. We were, and I forget, we were one day off.
Yeah, one day.
Okay. So, I mean, I'll look at that calendar again. I know Donna sent it to us a couple of times, so I do have it. So that make sure that we're all, and I think Paul is right.
I think you were off on that petition because you used their Saturday meeting as their meeting date, not the Tuesday of the election day. That was the problem.
That's right. The deadline was
a Friday that fell in between.
I got enough signatures, and I said, well, I've already got the signatures. I'll just drop it off today. So when I went to drop it off, they said it was actually due yesterday, just 12 hours earlier. And I said,
by the way,
we didn't apply for that.
Did we want to go for that money this year? We never talked about that.
I would say pass this year. I think the voters are going to be, you know, financially, it's a tough year for everybody, and I just wonder if they would be willing to be gracious and shift some of those funds from Madison to Idlewise, and I wonder if that's not the best year to do it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's just my thought.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to think about it, but all right.
Okay.
But
I do agree with Bob. Never mind. Go ahead.
No, you had something because I just wanted to jump back to payroll. But before I do that, I'll let you speak. Go ahead.
Oh, no. I was just going to say that I had the same thought that Bob Ingram had about Madison's voting line item in their budget that, you know, that we may not be able to use that. But as he said, that's our taxpayer money that paid for that stuff. So we have as much right to use it as they do. So
yeah,
the PPE stuff that they purchased.
Oh, yeah. But I do know that every village district within a town, within a county, everybody has to have, by law, their own ballot box. We can't borrow Madison's. Those are sacred items.
Okay, which we have.
You know, we do have. Yeah, and so I'm wondering you saw all the stuff. At least Paul Waddell, Paul and Bob did at the November elections. That's all new. We won't be able to use that. I think we still get the old aluminum shower. I call them shower curtains.
Why wouldn't we be able to use that? Why wouldn't we? I mean, that's not a ballot box. That's, you know, it's the same as the chair. It's the chairs
election
screen. I don't know. Anyway. But we could use it.
All the PPE stuff, yeah. They had no problem with that.
Okay, all right.
The electronic counting machine. If we ever went that route, we'd have to probably purchase our own to not use Madison's.
Okay.
I think they're dedicated to the certain town. They're serialized.
Okay. All right. Anyway, it was already discussed. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to jump to payroll to finish the finances here. Okay. So we have a payroll for 2 weeks of – let me see if I got my date. Yeah. January 23rd through February 5th. And yes, so those are 2 weeks up for $6,166.97. I'll make a motion to approve payroll for that amount. Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
Okay. Any discussion on payroll? There are a couple of snowstorms in there. There was some ice.
I was going to say, how much of that you think was overtime?
Let me just quickly give you the
numbers.
It's over a thousand. Quite a bit, I think.
Okay.
It was a lot. Because that was
21 hours.
One thing I noticed, and I just wanted to confirm it with you guys, and I guess it makes sense. Under the second day of that storm, I'm trying to find the file to pull up. All of his time was overtime. Is that right? Does that mean that he didn't work during the day and that he only worked at night, and then he gets all overtime? Oh shoot! Why can't I find this?
I'm sorry. Okay. That should be 8 hours regular. Yep.
Okay.
Oh, and 10 overtime?
Yeah.
Okay.
But does that affect the amount?
I'm sorry.
Was it just wrong on that, or was it wrong on...
No, it was 8 hours regular, 10 hours overtime.
Yeah,
okay.
I see it on the time card. It's correct.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was the only thing that kind of caught my eye. And
what
also, we
had a catch-up on Kelly.
Kelly had a lot of overtime. I mean... And then I had a question about... I'm sorry, I can't find this thing. I don't know why I was looking at it this morning. Who's our third guy?
Tony. So it was Wednesday 12/26 is when she sent it.
Does Tony always get regular pay? Does he get overtime pay if he works nights, or do we just pay him straight whenever he's working 25 an hour?
We just pay him straight.
20.
Anything under
8 hours?
Yeah.
See, we only had 7 hours on that one day, I believe. Let me just check here again. Yep, 7 hours. On
that's a good question, though.
I just was curious. I didn't know, and I was thinking about it when I looked at his hours.
Jay, what if Tony worked 12 hours straight one day? Would he have to be over 40 hours in a week, or would that not matter since he's considered a part-time employee?
Yeah, I think overtime is based on 8 hours a day, correct?
I would say over anything over 40 hours.
Yeah, because we don't guarantee or even...
Yeah,
but 40 hours a week, not 8 hours. So if Tony worked 12 straight hours one day, and that was it for the whole week, he would still be at 25 an hour. We wouldn't have any situation to pay him time and a half.
Yeah, that's a good question. I'm not sure.
But what if he got called in on Christmas Day?
Yeah, exactly.
Let's check in.
I'll look into it. That's a good question.
Yeah, basically holidays,
so
overtime, how up?
The overtime this week was $1,400. $1,400. So I just you'd ask how much it was, Kathy. It was It was quite a bit. It was an evening. It was a night event for
storm.
The most part. Yeah, and it was
right.
Long. It was a foot of snow up at the bottom. At the bottom of the hill was a foot, so it was a lot of snow. A lot of coverage.
Okay, so the motion has been made, been seconded. Any further discussion?
Nope.
All right. All in favor, say aye. Aye.
Aye.
So, Paul, did you jot that down that Jay's going to check on overtime rules for part-timers?
Sure.
So I'll put that on the action log just so that we don't forget it, even if it doesn't get done next week, but just something to kind of...
Yeah. Okay.
Got it. I'm just taking a note here myself.
Yeah, write it down, Jay.
No, I'm glad you meant remarkable.
All right.
Okay.
Any changes to the budget, the proposed budget, or to any of the articles?
Not
anything,
yet.
Anything crop up in anybody's mind? Okay.
Not
all right. I think we've got all our signature items done. Commissioner's reports. So we just talked about the $20,000 for the asset management. The on-call engineering services, I still have a couple of questions I have on two different fronts with, what are they, Wright and Pierce. One is for the emergency dam plan, and the other is this on-call engineering services. So I'll follow up with that. And, okay, so we had the electronic public hearing for, okay, we've all got that with Bob. Kathy, do you have anything?
Nothing. Nope, nothing this week.
Okay. Paul?
Have we had any other inquiries onto the as to the Ford 550?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
No.
Well, not here, but what since I actually applied on the municibid.com, all I'm getting is questions. For example, is the sander a hydraulic or electric? And so I replied hydraulic. The other question, what is the brand manufacturer of the plow? It's Housatonic. So I put Housatonic.
Okay.
So I'm getting questions, and I know there was one visitor that came last week.
Yes, and he had a couple of questions, and he did say that he would be putting a bid in. So,
I'm not sure if he went through Craigslist or the Menissi bid.
It was Craigslist that
okay.
he went through.
All right.
So,
what was the date?
What
was the date we put in for bids? Curious.
Yeah. So it was the last Wednesday of February is the cutoff.
Okay.
So we should start see bids coming in that last week. And that will give us time on Thursday. Yep, that will give us time on our Thursday meeting to accept any bid that has met the reserve amount. Okay?
Okay, great.
Okay.
So is it my turn?
Paula, the only thing I have is
I had a question. Maybe you want to do it later, Kathy, on the motion action log.
Okay.
And I looked at it. I have to be honest. I didn't look at it in much detail. That's my bad again, and I'm way behind on that. But I did. I was looking at it this morning, and it said, like, for me, who's going to do something. Well, actually, it says suggested doing that. Like, it's kind of weird comment. I mean, maybe that's the way it was written in the minutes. Does that mean we agreed to do it? So, like, you have on here November 12th, suggested putting a marker at the vault on 14 Briston Stock. Does that mean we agreed to do it?
Open it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Jay sent it back.
Yeah, I saw that, too.
Okay.
I guess now that I'm reading it and remembering those things, tell me when you get it open. And you guys were assigned to
the action log.
Okay.
Open.
Wasn't that Ian that was supposed to do that?
Yeah.
Not Kelly.
Or you're right, not Kelly or Paula, but
yeah,
Ian would mark, obviously.
Yeah, that would be Ian. It's marked on the thing as Kelly. But that's a water thing.
Right.
On which item?
It was supposed to be marked by Kelly, so he would know what, not where to plow.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Yes, I remember.
And then there was
I guess
when you went through this, my question is, did you just pull the wording from the
kind of?
I think you must have just.
Yeah.
Okay. Because when I thought I was
suggested.
Well, does that mean? Because if I suggest something, doesn't mean we're going to do it necessarily. I just am suggesting it, and then there's a discussion.
Right.
If it's a motion.
If it's a motion or action, then it is.
Yeah, if it's an action, it's just like, so it just,
do it.
To me, instead of saying suggested getting two to three realtors, just say, you know, get 2 to 3 realtor bids.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of
okay.
what we do.
Right.
But I don't know. When I first saw the word suggested, it kind of just was like, what? So that was all. First, I saw under commissioner. Does that mean which commissioner suggested it, or which commissioner made the motion?
Well, that's kind of how Lynn had set up the form, and I guess it's the commissioner that brought it to the attention of the board, and then whoever was assigned to do that particular task. That's all.
I don't know if we need that category. I mean, it seems kind of.
We might not.
But maybe
the day that it was initiated, and then. Who's going to do it, the status, and the date that it got done. Okay. All right.
Okay. That was just my question. Okay.
Actually, the form came from the way it was maintained prior, and I know Lynn had got a copy of that. I took a look at the form that was the last form we had maintained back in 2019 was when it sort of stopped, when Nancy actually had her incident. So I went back and looked at some of those action items and motions, and they're all but just a few, maybe three or four, that I'm going to actually take those ones. Those are still relevant and carry those forward, put them on to this new one.
That's fine.
But just remember this, we got to just figure out which is the last version. Like, that's what Kathy was saying. Like, we, you and I, Jay, should not be updating it electronically.
Right.
I don't know how you want us to.
Right.
If you want us to just send an email with, like,
just send me an email. Yeah, just send me an email that either when it's done. Yeah, and then Donna, it looks like, I don't know if Donna made any comments on this yet or not, but like transferring money from the Waterline Extension Fund, that $5,500,
okay.
That's already been done. Okay.
Done, yep.
Okay.
All right, so.
The only other thing
I
think
I
could do, and I'm going to make it really complicated, just tell you guys an idea longer term to get to, if you can ever get totally super organized. I think on Microsoft, there's probably some kind of SharePoint, share file. Anybody you can pull, you could put that file on share, and then you could just pull it off of there and then update it back to Microsoft.
And update it.
But I don't know. I don't think we're there yet, but I think you could get there pretty quickly. You'd have to sort of log on somehow to the Microsoft, or maybe do it through your email. I don't know. I just think there's got to be a way to do that.
If we have a new part-time administrator, I'm sure that person can figure that out.
Yeah, there you go. Okay.
Yeah.
So that was that. The only thing I had, so we'll go to non-public and talk about the admin position and whether we want to make somebody an offer. So that's all I've got. The last person that we were going to interview today canceled. So.
Okay. So a quick question.
I'm just
going to
jump through. Go ahead, Kath.
Go ahead, Jay. No. I didn't know if we'd skipped all the correspondence portion of this agenda.
No, I'm not going to skip it. I'm going to go real quick through correspondence and then jump to public comment, and then we'll go to non-public.
Okay. All right.
Okay. So real quick on correspondence with the letter from Catherine. We all know about that. Here's one thing that raised my eyebrows. So I had a conversation yesterday by phone. Chris called me, Chris Albert, who was formerly with Jones and Beach. And this is in regards to my inquiry with Jones and Beach and Ian, and they have talked repeatedly about the proposal on Upper Lakeview might not be as they have wanted or as it's designed now. They might want to change that. So my thought is do it now. Don't wait till the construction starts and then go into a design phase. Do the design now and tell us what we need to change. So Chris called me. And he said he cannot complete that investigation as to what that change would be until the LIDAR modeling map. And Kathy, I know, Paula, you were not on the board at the time. But, Kathy, do you remember how much we paid for this map and what it was paid for?
It was part of the contract of I'm just looking at it right
engineering.
Now.
And it was $4,000, and it was over about a year ago that we paid for this. Yet we don't have it. And I'm like, and Chris doesn't have it, and Jones and Beach hasn't completed it. And I'm like, what? So we need to get on Jones and Beach because this map we've already paid for. Again, it's another deliverable.
It says 3,000.
Just like the
contract. Contract 3, $3,000 for mapping, $5,000 for the new distribution center and system, and we did pay for that. So, yes, it was contract 3. Okay.
Can
I ask a
question? Wouldn't Chris Albert have been the one that was supposed to deliver that when he was at Jones and Beach?
Yeah, and he would have delivered that. Now, would he be the one who have actually done the work? The answer would be no. That's they hired a surveyor very early on to begin that work, and I don't know if that was all completed. I remember him talking about having a surveyor come up here one day, and it was foggy, and they use lasers now for surveying, so you can't shoot a laser through the fog. It doesn't work. It only bounces back. So we need to also then reach out to Brad Jones at Jones and Beach and ask what the status is of this map, because this map is now holding up the decision on whether we change the design of the Upper Lakeview portion of the project for next spring, or this coming spring.
So, Jay, quick question. Just for clarification. So LIDAR mapping, and at first I'm thinking they have to go around to every single point in the district to create this map, but isn't it a topographical map that's maintained
yes.
by the U.S., you know, geological whatever society, and it's just something that they have to get access
yep.
to? And then they put all of
yeah,
our,
so they have,
maybe they overlay our roads and our pump houses on it. But it's,
right.
it's basically an elevation map.
Yeah, and so that's basically what it is. It's a topo map. So they're going to get that, and they probably already have that from the government. What they need to
okay.
do in order to finalize this decision of whether a design change is necessary is to paste onto that map some of the key points regarding the Upper Lakeview pressure zone and the Oak pressure zone. And once
mm-hmm.
they do that onto this map, they'll be able to determine where what pressure they have and where, and whether or not they can connect with that Riggy Drive pressure line, not pressure line,
yeah.
that water line down to Middle Shore and eliminate the need for the possibility of a pressure-reducing valve pit on Upper Lakeview. So that needs to be done, and I'm just surprised that it's really not done yet.
Yeah, now's the time. Now's the time when they're not busy.
Yeah.
Well, so who's going to somebody
needs
to reach out? So who can reach out to Brad Jones? Who's the primary contact with him? Should the office do it? Should you do it, Jay? Kath? Who's been contacting
I'll
him?
Do it. Yeah, I'll do it through the office. Obviously, everybody will be on copy, and I will hopefully kick this off. He said he'd be available. Is it next week, Brad?
Yeah.
Jones? Yeah. So hopefully we can have a little bit of discussion. It seems like there was when Chris left, there was some balls that were dropped, and I just want to make sure that when we start construction in the spring, we're ready to go. We know what we're doing, and we know when we're going to get completed.
Yep.
So,
but are you going to follow up?
I'll pick that
follow up to ask him where it is, or to follow up to have him come next week and talk about where it is? I mean, we need to have him come to the meeting. Just have him get it to us. I mean,
right,
you could, I mean,
right,
if
I agree,
you want
Paula.
The meeting,
yeah, but,
I don't need to talk
yeah,
to him.
Yeah. So if he gives us the map, that's one thing, and there's nothing I can do with it. But I also need to have him now review the map and make sure that the design that's either currently on the drawing board is correct, or do we need to change our design. And, you know, all the discussion we heard about last year was basically it needs to be changed. So I just want to make sure that's in the works now so that come springtime we're ready and knowing what it is that we have to do.
Right. And
I just want to keep it moving forward. That's all my point is.
Yep.
I don't
yeah.
need to have
and
him
we
come
can't.
And tell us something that we don't need to know.
Already know. Yeah. And also, I think, you know, we can't, it's not that we're going to give that map to Chris and have him do the evaluation for us, because that's under Jones and Beach's contract, not Chris's.
Right. That's right. That's right.
Yep.
Yep.
Yep. So we,
okay,
said,
we have another.
20,
okay. Yeah, we have Anthony Allen was inquiring about an outhouse. Donna reached out to me, and as far as I know, and I looked again this morning, the state of New Hampshire, I believe, under DES, they only allow septic systems. So I believe outhouses are out.
So, Jay, I don't even... Is 14 Conway Road even a district piece of property? I Googled it, and I went
yes,
to the Madison tax map, and it does 14 Conway Road doesn't even come up.
No, and again, I think this is... it's the old lot number 14 in Edelweiss. It's right outside the entrance of Edelweiss. It's an old
okay.
lot number that they're referring to, not the new lot number.
Oh. Okay,
I did speak with Bob Boyd yesterday after speaking with Jay. And there's nothing on the books that says no, but it has to meet all DES
yep.
requirements.
Which is
okay.
Bob's never seen any of the requirements, so the homeowner would have to prove it to us.
Right. He has to get an approval from DES for his waste. And the only thing that you can apply for with DES is a septic system, or you can get a composting toilet.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, so done. So we don't need to do anything more about that.
Yeah, and the COVID equipment we can get from Madison. They have no problem with that. Okay, so I'm going to jump down real quick to public comments. Do we have any public comments? Do we have any public on? And I think it was just Dinah. I'm not sure if she's still on.
Yep, I'm on.
Okay.
I have a question.
Do you have anything, Dinah?
What?
Yeah.
I have a question regarding the tank project. Do we know if all of the equipment that was lacking in the fall is now available to finish the project, meaning the other pump and whatever pipes they were looking for as well?
Yeah, we asked that question at our water portion of the meeting last week with Ian, and I believe it was Ian who said, yes, those other items, I believe there were two items, have come in.
That was the meter and the disconnect, the transfer switch, right?
Right. Isn't there a pump? The electric transfer switch.
There was a pump. What about the other
pump that there was?
Yeah, there was a second pump, the redundant pressure pump.
Is that that available to us in the spring so we can get this going?
Mm-hmm.
He did say yes, Dinah. He didn't say specifically each piece. We said, is all that stuff, is the stuff come in? And he said yes. We could confirm that with him, but they have everything. But we did ask him that question. So
okay. Well, I just don't want spring to come and they say there's no pump available again. That wouldn't be good.
I think right. We should confirm again with him next time in March, first meeting in March.
Also, there will be an additional cost to get the new pump house up and running. I don't know if they've estimated that yet.
Yeah. Well, there's still $64,500 that we have not paid Dawson's. $25,000 of that was earmarked for the Upper Lakeview solution. So there's still another $30,000 that we have not paid Dawson for work that still needs to be done.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. Anything else on public comment? Okay, hearing none, I will make a motion that we go into non-public under 93A:3, section 2B, hiring. Do I have a second to that motion?
I'll second.
Okay. All in favor say aye. Aye.
Okay, I'm taking the recording off.
Okay.